Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So far we had been discussing the Bhakti Yoga, chapter 12, and there are 20 verses in this chapter. It's a pretty small chapter because there is not much to tell you. Everything that has to be told is already told in the chapters before. So as we have discussed from chapter 6 to 10, we saw the Bhagavan's vibhuti, his glory, his identification, how to find him in this manifest world. Where does he exist? We saw in 6 to 10, where he said, I am in the fragrance of flower, I am the sweetness of honey, I am even in the cheating power of the cheats. Whatever you can think of is the essence of a thing or a being, the dharma of that being or a thing is me. Thing only exists because its inherent quality to be its own dharma. We are human beings because we have this basic qualities necessary for a human being. You take that away, you are no more human being. If a person looks like Michael Jackson, you go near but he doesn't move, we know you are in Madame Tussaud's museum. That's not Michael Jackson. Because that statue does not have the inherent qualities required to be Michael Jackson. So that which makes you, you, and I, and it, is Bhagavan said is me. We have seen that from chapter 6 to 10. And from that we should have developed a reason to say it. But obviously that's not that simple. So Arjuna asked Bhagavan in chapter 11, that I understood all of it, but I want to experience it. I can't experience it. So with Lord's grace, he gets a divine vision to comprehend this oneness in this manifest world, which is what we had been talking about, where we just can't connect it with that. And Arjuna gets connected to that, where he sees this manifest world as nothing but a one being, with many mouths and many hands and many legs and many things happening. With that understanding, one should develop the devotion to that being, that one supreme being who is nothing but my own self. So the chapter 12 is the yoga of devotion. Once you've contemplated who I am, realize the nature of the supreme, and realize that myself and the Supreme Self are not two different selves, I must instantaneously develop identification with that Supreme Self, which we call it a love for the divine devotion. So this chapter is about all the bhakti yoga, how to unite with yourself by devotion. And we had been talking about various paths to attain that oneness with the Supreme, and we have talked about three distinct paths, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Gnana Yoga. And we always get, because of our cultural baggage, where we have understood bhakti as something which happens in a temple or during a bhajan time, that we can associate, well, I'm not that kind of bhakta. Well, I don't really wear a mala and then keep kirtan and do all the kirtar and all. I'm not a bhakta like that. So here is our chance to understand what bhakti is. So the chapter opened with Arjuna's two obvious questions. Should I be devoted to you in the form which I have seen you as Krishna, or Rama, or Shiva, Jesus, whatever, whom I have now developed a sense of divinity, that you are divine, I'm a mortal, that I can put my faith into that one manifestation and achieve that oneness, or like others discussed in Vedas and Upanishads as that being which has nirguna nirakar, has no qualities, no shape and form, and that all-pervading being in its unmanifest form that I should be worshipping or devoted to. And obviously Bhagavan's answer was, one who gives his mind to me and then do have me as the supreme goal and do it with faith, he comes to me quicker. But the others who want to devote to the unmanifest, and if they can do the following, samnyam indriya gramam, all this senses under control, equanimous to all, where he can see the equanimity in this entire manifest world, he can see that there is the underlying thread in this world of plurality, in this diversity, which binds this entire universe into that thread, which we already discussed in previous verses. Sutre eva maniganaha eva, just as a thread in the necklace of the beads. That we can see that. And then I sarvabhuta hite rataha, I'm constantly engaging myself into the welfare of all the beings. Not my group of people, my family, my people, other people can go to wherever. Sarvabhuta hite rataha. Then he also comes to me, Bhagavan said. And then obviously the question is, then which one is better? I devote to a particular deity, being whom I feel most closer and inspired by, or to that? And Bhagavan said, both are fine, but kleso adhik tarah tesham, those who devote to the unmanifest, it's a harder path. There are more obstacles on your way to achieve that. For dehavadbhi, those who are attached to the body. The first qualification required for that is to have some niyam indriya gramam, all the senses to be under control. But if I'm not in that and have attachment to these senses in the body, no matter how intellectually I consider myself non-dualistic, that duality will bring you down. And therefore Bhagavan says, for them it is more difficulty. If you are dehavadbe, not just the indweller of the body, but one who is attached to this body. I never understood the meaning of samadhi. What is samadhi? They talk about in meditation and this. But one time Swami Tejamanda explained to me in one simple term. He was not addressing just to me, but an audience, but I got it, you know. He said, you are in this state of samadhi all the time, a reference to your body. There is never a time where I am not identified with my body. Nobody has to wake me up and say, Neil, that's not you, that's you. I'm always in a state of samadhi, a reference to my body. That's actually dehavadbehe. I'm attached to this body. For me, attaching to this body as an ego I, and then trying to establish myself into the supreme unmanifest, Bhagavan says, kleso adhik tarah tesha. For them, there are lots of difficulties. Therefore, he said, easy path is, mai eva mana adhasva, give your mind to me, and then do everything for me. And I will become the savior of you to save you from this ocean of samsara. This ocean of experiences we have, which seems infinite. I don't see the end of it. So many times I thought I got it. That we told Bhagavan that, oh Lord, just give me this, just give me green card and I'll be fine. When you didn't have green card, I don't know. Are you an HR? Okay, we have. Oh Lord, give me green card. Because the green card these days takes about like 8 to 10 years. I have somebody with me who has been here with me like 6 years now. And I applied his green card about 3 years ago, and we are renewing H1 for the third time. So believe it or not, his prayer to Lord is what? oh Lord, give me green card. After that, I'm fine. After that, I'm taken care of, right? Green card lets you stay here, do whatever you want. And as soon as you get green card, what? Oh Lord, find a right partner. So now I can settle down. And then it continues. Many, many times we found that there is an end to this difficulties I have, the sorrows I have. But the moment we get there, we realize, no, the infinite experiences which gives me joys and sorrows. It never comes with a pure joy. I really want to achieve that. There is no sorrow. But this sansara, that samsarati, the constantly changing life of mine where this infinite experience is, I don't see the end of it. One thing ends, the new thing starts, you know. Bhagavan says, for those who have given their mind to me and have supreme faith in me, I become their savior. They are not capable by themselves to cross this ocean of infinite experiences. Infinite experience of finite world. I will be the savior for them, to save them and take them to the other side where there is no sorrow. Where there is pure happiness, which you are looking for. There is no ignorance about who I am. And there is no death. There is no death, there is no end of me. There is no ignorance, and there is no sorrow. So, it's all about mind that we figured out. Bhagavan never said, give me your intellect and a body. Intellect is nothing but a memory bank of my experiences. I think I know based on only my experiences. It is my mind takes the flight into unknown and then keeps on going. There is a story about a sexually. Sexually means one who can't control his imagination. I'd heard a story in my childhood that a Brahmin's son, who obviously makes his living by getting bhiksha, one day he got more bhiksha than he can consume. He got this flower more than he said, well, today was a good day and I got a lot of this bhiksha. I cannot consume all of it, so what I'm going to do is take the part which is left and I'm going to sell it and make some money. Then what I'm going to do with that money? Well, then I'll buy this. And then I'll do this little business. Then I'll make more money. And then I will have a worthy partner. Then I'll get married. And then I will have children. And then children will come to me and say, Papa, Papa, and say, go away. And he kicked that pot which has the flower in it and broke it and it all gone. So his flight of imagination of his mind took him away with it and he lost everything which he was thinking about. So he said that quality of the mind, which we have seen is sankalpa shakti. You need to curb that and put it in me. I'll be your savior. Continuing in that, say, mai eva mana adastva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasasi maya eva ata urdhum na sansaya. Fix thy mind in me. Place thy intellect in me too. See, right now we are so much dependent on our own intellect. Doubt came to my mind, almost everybody who learned Bhagavad Gita and said, all this is great, I know, but I don't think you can succeed if you just continue. You have to have passion to do this. Then only you can succeed in life. So if you don't succeed in life, learn this, but don't get hung up on it. Because you know why? I'm relying on my own intellect, which is nothing but a finite experiences which says what succeeds, what doesn't. We have seen the people like Steve Jobs, and they did, and that's why they're succeeding. Well, I should be like that. Bhagavan said, no, don't rely on your intellect. It will misguide you because it has not a capacity to go beyond the realm of your experiences. What you are trying to cross is the realm of your experiences. How can you rely on your intellect? You need to plug into the global database, cosmic database. If I don't know anything, what do? I go on Google and see if I can find it. If I find it on Google, I'm fine. That entire database of the supreme intellect, that cosmic intelligence, I need to rest in that. I have to rest my intellect into that. Plug into not only my hard drive, which is my intellect, to the cloud computing, connected to that, Bhagavan said. So not only give your mind to me, but rest your intellect into me. Realize that there is a guide who will guide me once I put faith in him. Once you surrender, as Bhagavad Gita says, the guidance will come automatically to you. You may call it instinct, you may call it God. I heard the God's voice, but you're connected to that higher database, which will give you that. So you say, Mai buddhim nivesha nivasasi maya eva, who will reside in me, urdvam na sansaya. After that, after attaching my mind into him and resting my intellect into his intellect, there is no doubt that you will live in me, that supreme self. You will detach from this limited mind and intellect, this ego, and attach to the supreme being. But we may find this very difficult to do. And maybe Bhagwan also saw the same doubt on Arjuna's face. So he gives an alternate. If we think that our mind is not at a point where it can focus onto the Lord, we cannot dedicate our intellect to the Lord. In other words, work in that manner where I say, what would have Krishna done in this case? And seek guidance from my antaratma. Then Bhagavan said there is another way. If you're not at that level, then atha chittam samadhatum na shaknose maistiram. If you're unable to fix your mind steadily upon me, abhyasa yogena tataha mam icham aptum dhananjayaha, then by the yoga of constant practice, abhyasa yoga, constant practice, over and over again, you shall try to bring your mind back to that thought that I am not this body, I am not this limited being, but I am the reflection of the Supreme Self. We have seen this technique in chapter 6 in meditation, that a meditator must, every time the mind runs away, bring it back to that single-pointedness, to the object of his meditation. Mind has a tendency to run away, and our duty is to constantly be vigilant and see where the mind is and bring it back to the object of our meditation, to the goal. Anytime we fix a goal and say, I will be doing this, this is my goal, I want to lose weight, but then, and I decide I'm going to exercise 5 days a week, and then gradually my mind takes me away and says, it's okay. It's okay if I don't go for walking today, for exercise today. And Bhagavan said, that time you have to bring your mind back to your goal and say, no, my goal is to lose weight, and therefore I should be doing exercise every day, and I should start aligning my actions back to my goal. That's Abhyasa Yoga. Constant practice towards our goal. And we have heard the expression, practice makes a man perfect. So anything if I want to master or champion, the only prescription given by all the wise people is keep practicing over and over and over again. That is Abhyasa Yoga. Now, sometimes we say, well, that may not be possible. I may not be able to even control my mind. I may just, you know, go along with it and don't even realize that I've lost all this time in thinking about something else. So the next verse gives even a further, easier prescription. Abhyase api asamarthavase. If you think even that is not possible for me to constantly keep checking my mind and bringing it back to the goal, then mat karma paramo bhava. Very simple technique. You continue doing what you are doing. Do all the actions which you are performing, which you like right now, except mat karma bhava. Perform the actions for me. Madartham api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyase. Even by doing actions for me, you shall attain perfection. Just a little adjustment in my attitude towards my actions. Right now, I'm thinking I'm doing it for me. Oh, I am the doer. Why are you doing nail? Well, because I want to be happy. So I'm doing it for me. Bhagavan said, he just changed the attitude and say, you're doing it for the Lord. I'm doing it for the Lord who has given me this ability to act in this world. Without his presence as the consciousness in me, the life force in me, I will not be able to perform these actions which I'm performing right now. And therefore, I'll attribute all these actions to him and offer them to him who has made me capable of performing these actions. So I make that adjustment in my attitude and say, I'm doing it for my Lord. And Bhagavan guarantees us that even just by doing that, just by offering all my actions to the Lord, that you shall achieve that perfection. That perfection which is the goal of your life. That which will make me happy eternally. Without any sorrow. Without any limitations. Bhagavan said, you shall achieve that perfection. So, this is easier than the previous one, which was Abhyasa Yoga. Abhyasa Yoga was easier than the previous one. I say that focus your mind onto me and give your intellect to me. And now Bhagavan said, maybe you think that you are at a level that the vasana layers on my mind and intellect is so thick that I may not be even able to do that. My ego is so strong that I may not be able to think that I'm doing it for Bhagavan. I'll be thinking, oh, what about me? I am the one who is doing it. I'm the one who is putting all these efforts. And therefore, how can I say that I'm doing it for someone else? Well, some of us will say that's actually hypocrisy. I'll be doing it for myself, but then say I'm doing it for you. When I'm in that kind of a dilemma, Bhagavan said there is an even easier path for you. So the next verse gives us even the easiest path. We had learned this path before, but Bhagavan is just reminding us. Atha etad api asaktose. If you are even unable to do this for me, kartum mad udyogam ashritaha sarva karma falatyagam tataha kuru yatatmava. If you are unable to do even this, then take refuge in me and renounce the fruits of all actions. Take refuge in me and self-control are the two qualifications here. So, yathatmavan, which is self-control. I need to have a level of control on my thinking. And then I would say, I will be doing what I'm doing. However, I will not waste any energy in thinking about the results of my actions. Sarva karma falatyagam. Give up the desire for fruits of actions, for all actions. We know from our experience and also from the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and other wise people, that wasting time in what will happen in future is not really a very efficient way of using our time. Focusing my mind and intellect and all my energies into my present actions is the most efficient way to perform actions and therefore guaranteeing success. However, we do have a tendency to think about something which is not in my control, which is future. Actions are always performed in present. The results of the actions are always in future. Whether that time lag is 1 month, 1 year, one lifetime, or even few seconds, it is always future. But right now, I have a tendency to be thinking more about the future than focusing into the present. And therefore, all these astrologers are making all this money. On all the Indian TVs, you see advertisement about Jyotish and all the people who can guarantee you the right future. If somebody comes here and says, I know how to read palm, all of us will say, oh, look at my palm, look at my palm, and see, what do you say? So we are always very curious about our future. We are always worried about the future. We are always thinking that my action must have this certain type of result. That is karma phala. Karma phala tyaga means I do expect that my actions will have results, but I'm not putting my energies right now while performing actions into thinking about those actions. So Bhagavan said, having not changed anything, just giving up the worries about the karma phala, the fruits of actions, will also will achieve the same result of giving you the perfection. That your actions will become so perfect and you have taken refuge in the karma phala data, one who is in control of giving the results of all actions. The nature is in control of giving the results of all actions. If I throw a ball, it's not who I control, how where the ball will go and where it will hit, but all the natural laws of physics, the law of gravity, law of friction, will take over. And depending on their reaction and actions with each other, that ball will fall in the right location. My control was with what strength I can throw the ball, but rest of it is dependent on the laws of nature. The laws of nature are the karma phala data. I perform actions by throwing ball as hard as I can. Rest is up to the nature. So, karma phala data is someone other than me, something other than me. Having that complete faith in that karma phala data, complete faith in nature, that nature does not make any distinction between who threw the ball. The law of gravity will be applied equally to all throwers of balls, irrespective of who that person is. So is the Lord. All my actions will be rewarded appropriately, without any bias, without any impartiality. If I have that faith, then I can do karma phala tyaga. I'll focus on my actions and make my chances to succeed better by performing actions with the full energy, full efficiency. And having that attitude will also align myself with the Supreme Self, and I'll achieve the perfection. So we have three different prescriptions. If my vasana layer is thin enough that just by abhyasa yoga I can realign my mind and intellect, then that's the prescription. If the vasana layer is thicker than that, then just dedicate all my actions to the Lord who made me capable of performing. But if my ego is even stronger than that, then I may continue thinking that I am the doer, but I do not want to predict what the future would be of my actions. That's karma phala tyaga. Having complete faith in the karma phala data, that he will give the results according to my actions and appropriate for my actions. With that, we'll stop here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.